Good morning, Tony.
How are you?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you. I'm good. And you?
Yeah, I'm all fine. It's a tad warm. Nothing to do with what goes on in the sky and the fact that, we get autumn announced by the weathermen, but it's not quite autumn. But we'll go into that confusion a bit later. I want to start with the moon, because last week was a blue supermoon, wasn't it? Which was...
Yes.
It's the full moon in Pisces, I believe.
Yes. So for any listener who is not aware, well, I think I'm sure most are, the blue supermoon, a supermoon is when the moon appears brighter and larger. And that's because last month it was about 22 kilometres closer to the planet, because it doesn't circle the Earth in a circle. It's actually in an oval shape. And there are times in its orbit when the moon is closer to Earth. And last month, the full moon coincided with it being closer to Earth. So it was something like 22,000 kilometres closer, which made it appear 14% bigger and 30% brighter. So it really was quite a stunning sight. And it was a blue moon. And the blue is nothing to do with the colour. It just signifies that there were two full moons in that calendar month. So you had a full moon at the start of August and another one at the end, which just also happened to coincide with the fact that it was closer to Earth in its orbit. So, yes, we had the blue supermoon, but we're going to have another supermoon.
Well, before you get to that,
this month as well.
Before you go on to the next one, because that full moon was last Wednesday. And that was pretty much the end of the month. I think it was about 30th of September, wasn't it, last Wednesday. Well, Sunday evening, I was putting some milk bottles out, actually, and looked up in the sky out the front and noticed that there was, it wasn't a full moon. It was kind of an egg-shaped thing, really, but it was the moon. And I'm thinking,
right,
hang on a minute, we had the full moon the other day. How come we've got this now? What am I looking at?
Okay, so that's the stage of its orbit. Once you've got the full moon, it's then going to return to being a new moon when we can't actually see the moon. So the moon has four main phases. A new moon when we cannot see it. But then as it transits about a quarter of the way through its 27-day period around Earth, so once it's done a quarter of that period, you'll see what we call the first quarter. So the right-hand side of the moon,
like a little banana,
the right-hand side will be illuminated. Then it will continue around to the full moon, so the whole of the moon is illuminated. Then it will continue again another quarter of the way in its orbit, and only the left-hand side of the moon is illuminated, which is called the third quarter, the last quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then it returns to a new moon again, effectively a dark moon. We can't see it. So what you were seeing, Tony, I mean, it looked oval or egg-shaped, because actually the moon is shaped more oval than round. But it's on its way to the third quarter stage. So the right-hand side of the moon is in shadow. So it looks dark, and that shadow will progressively cover the whole of the moon so that it all becomes dark. And that is the stage that we call the new moon.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a fascinating thing. It's just something I wasn't expecting. It was so bright in the sky, and it wasn't a full moon. And I thought, we saw this last week. I shouldn't be seeing this now. But of course, with the nights being fairly clear and the way you've just described it, of course, perfectly normal, which is good.
Yes,
but
actually, funnily enough, Tony, just a couple of nights ago, I was awake it's about 3-4 o'clock in the morning. I just happened to glance out my bedroom window, and yes, you're right, the moon was looking beautiful, but to its left was the planet Jupiter as well. So the bright white light in the sky to the left of the moon was Jupiter, which is looking absolutely stunning. And then if you just looked even further to the left, you could see the constellation of Orion, the Hunter, which is the winter constellation. So it's another sign that autumn and then obviously winter is on its way.
Yeah, why does the best stuff always happen in the middle of the night?
I don't know, but it does.
It appears to, doesn't it, really?
It does.
We have another supermoon, as you mentioned briefly there, coming up in September, don't we?
Yes, the 29th of September.
Yeah.
So again, the moon is going to be at its closest to Earth. So
yeah,
it will
that's
look bigger,
that, and it that's will called look the harvest moon, isn't it?
That's right, the harvest moon. Yes, and you'll notice as well that the harvest moon, it typically rises 15 minutes later on each successive night. I mean, normally when the moon rises, it normally rises about an hour later each evening.
Mm-hmm.
But because at this time of year, because of the angle of the moon's orbit around the Earth, the moon actually rises much, much closer to the horizon. So in successive nights, it rises quarter of an hour later. So you can pretty much expect to see it rising at pretty much about the same time. But it rises much lower to the horizon anyway. Consequently, it looks much bigger, as we call the moon illusion. And also, you get some really beautiful colours as well. A couple of nights ago, I don't know if you saw it, Tony, but the moonrise was absolutely gorgeous. It was that lovely glowing orange colour.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. That's what I saw the other night.
Absolutely gorgeous.
And it wasn't a full moon. It was a
no.
It was an egg-shaped thing.
Yes. Yes, the shadows play a really... They make it look stunning, I think.
Yeah,
it now was... is the time. Now is the time to be looking and enjoying that moonrise.
It definitely is, isn't it? It's a good time of year because the skies are still clear. It kind of leads us on nicely to something that happens before we get to that that next full moon. And I'm talking about the autumn equinox. Now, if you're into the weather... And the meteorology of it all, autumn has already started. Not that you know from the weather, but if you are, like you, an astronomer, it doesn't start for another 3 weeks, does it?
No, that's right. Officially, the autumn equinox, which is astronomically, it's when the sun crosses the celestial equator. We'll just keep that simple, really. The sun crosses the celestial equator, so it's moving from the northern hemisphere into the southern celestial hemisphere. So we're heading towards winter and the shorter days, the longer nights.
It's not here for long enough, is it?
No, it's not. And that officially happens at 7:50 in the morning of the 23rd of September.
Mm.
So, yeah, that officially marks the start of autumn going into winter. Yeah, obviously it's the other way around.
Why the difference between the two? I mean, why do the meteorologists feel that it needs to be nicely squared off to the beginning of a month?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, any farmer will tell you, Tony, the autumn began a good 6 weeks ago, at least down here anyway. The light is different, the temperature has been different, and there is something about the light, particularly in September. But nature has been responding as if it has been autumn for the last 6 weeks. But I think we're getting a bit of a curveball this week because
we're
getting that sort of late Indian summer and everything's coming out again. But it's
I was going to say, I've still got strawberries growing in my garden, which is the weirdest thing ever. Because,
yes,
I mean,
the power of our sun.
Yeah, the weather is absolutely beautiful at the moment, and it's very warm. It's kind of the summer we never got. I'm guessing that what we've had this year is probably more atypical of what this country has been used to for many, many years. And, well, it is what it is, I think, is probably the best way of saying that.
Yes, yes. And, of course, our sun is heading towards its maximum activity as well next year. So
yeah. Is it?
We can expect what we call solar maximum. So we can expect, well, there already is a lot more sunspot activity, which is tied to the magnetic activity on the surface of the sun. So it could be a good winter for the northern lights as well.
Yeah, I mean, when you mentioned that with the sun and the sunspots, I mean, without getting political in any way, shape or form, because I don't really want to do that, does that affect what happens with the temperatures around the globe?
The sun definitely does play a part, but I think there are many other contributing factors as well, Tony.
Oh, I got that, yeah. But I didn't know how much of that. So are we likely to see the temperatures recede a bit in a couple of years' time?
I don't know. I don't think so, no. Because it's dependent on so many other factors as well.
Yeah.
But you can expect to see, with increased activity on the surface of the sun, you can definitely expect to see increased auroral activity as well. Mm. So that's the activity of the solar wind blasting away from the surface of the sun and interacting with our atmosphere. There's going to be a good deal more of that. So if any listener is thinking about going to see the Northern Lights, it's a good time to do it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the whole thing is a fascinating subject that none of us mere mortals knows anywhere near enough about to truly say I understand it, because, well, I certainly don't.
Well, the cycles themselves, Tony, are over enormous time periods. We're talking hundreds of thousands of years to indeed millions of years. So when you think of the the small amount of time that human civilization has actually been on this planet. It's tiny, really, really tiny.
Yeah. Yeah, well, a lot of that conversation is probably a conversation for another time. So
yes.
we'll get back to the other bits. Now, you mentioned already some of the stuff that you've seen in the night sky, but Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn and Uranus are all there.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Out and about, aren't they?
They are. And this week is a really good time for everyone to be looking. So, you know, if you go out in the evening, 9, 10 o'clock at night, it's getting dark now, isn't it? 9 and 10 o'clock.
Mm.
It's still warm. If you look towards the south, look up that sort of butterscotch coloured dot in the sky. That's the planet Saturn,
mm-hmm.
which is looking lovely. And, you know, even with a pair of binoculars, you can see, though, the sort of outside area of the rings. You know, you can see that it's not a lovely round dot. It's actually got what Galileo used to say, sort of ears on either side, but those are the rings that you can see with binoculars.
Yeah.
So that's Saturn. And as I was saying the other night, Jupiter is to the left of the moon, and that was at about, well, that was about 3 o'clock in the morning, but Jupiter is up by midnight, and it's looking stunning, very, very bright, but even more stunning, I mean, outshining Jupiter, and at its brightest at the moment, in fact, I think it's at its brightest that it can reach, it's something like magnitude -0.4, is the planet Venus, and it is looking gorgeous in the morning. So if your listeners are up an hour before sunrise, say 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, look towards the east. I mean, the sunrises are just gorgeous at the moment anyway.
Yeah.
But that beautiful, bright, white light is the planet Venus. It's looking fantastic. It's actually so bright that it's casting a shadow, which is just stunning.
Yeah, I mean, there's some fantastic stuff. As I said to you earlier, it looks like all of this stuff happens in the middle of the night and in the wee small hours. So all the good stuff happens then. We're going to have to reverse the sleeping habits a bit to catch up with some of this, I think, aren't we?
I think we are. But as I say, if anybody, go outside from really 9 o'clock onwards now and look up. You can see the stars coming out.
Mm.
You'll see the planets. You'll clearly see Saturn, Jupiter, in the morning, obviously, Venus. It's well worth taking a look. To my mind, this is pretty much the best time of year for enjoying doing that.
Mm.
And we've got a comet as well. A comet's been found a few weeks ago, Comet Nishimura, and it's believed that this week it will become a naked eye object. So again, if you look towards the east an hour before sunrise, you may well be able to see it with a pair of binoculars, or possibly even with the naked eye.
Hmm.
And to find it, you just need to see Venus. So look east, you can't miss Venus in the morning. Find the planet Venus. Close to that, you'll find the constellation of Cancer. And there's a cluster of stars called the Beehive Cluster. And if you just scan to the left of that, you could well see that comet, because it has developed a tail as well.
Hmm.
And it's steadily increasing in brightness too.
Wonderful. I think I'm gonna have to get out of bed early, aren't I? Go and have a look at this. I mean,
yes,
I'm not early enough
it'll be,
as
it'll
it
be
is,
worth
but
it.
Not quite that early, but I will do. Right, finally, I know you want to talk about the NASA mission, but before we get to that, I just want to ask you a question, really. It's to do with the fact that the Russians and the Chinese, not the Chinese, the Indians, both went for the same thing. One nation succeeded where the other failed. There are numerous countries now in this little race to find out what the moon's all about. What do you reckon to all of that?
A big race, isn't it?
And yeah.
It's really heated up.
Mm.
I know. It's becoming very, very competitive, which was, I think, predictable. I mean, Russia's been building up, China and India, of course. In fact, many nations, the United Arab Emirates as well. We're definitely making moves to get out there. And of course, the stepping stone to getting out there, i.e. getting to the planet Mars, will be the moon. You know, NASA's actively will be sending spacecraft to the moon, to orbit around the moon first of all, but then eventually, of course, to land on the moon, to put a human being on the surface of the moon, with a view to establishing a base there, somewhere near the South Pole.
I was going to say, because the Americans have been before, and man has walked on the moon, but it wasn't at this point anywhere near the South Pole, was it?
No.
The Russians failed. Apparently their craft crashed. The Indians, of course, a cock-a-hoop, they actually did land. Are we going to get to an overcrowded moon, do you think?
Probably, yes, because, you know, there's, that's just what we do, isn't it? And it's very, very competitive, and it's become very, very commercial as well.
Mm.
Because, you know, we want to establish a base there, and particularly the South Pole, because we think there's water ice there, which potentially is then going to be able to provide oxygen and water, which are the prerequisites for establishing a base. But we all want our part of the moon, don't we? We all want to get to Mars, and it is, it's like the space race really all over again, and it's going to be very lucrative too. So yes, and I think as an aside from that, Tony, the legalities, the law as to who owns what and who can go where has yet to be established. I mean, there are laws in place. I forget what it's called. It's like the Space Treaty, but that's many decades out of date. It's quite contentious, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we've got to watch this space with that one. Meanwhile, of course, the Americans, not quite in this thing with the moon at the moment, although they're planning to go back there, they're busy sort of returning pieces of asteroids, aren't they?
They certainly are, which is a fantastic mission, isn't it? I mean, it launched, this is the OSIRIS-REx mission, which stands for, if anyone's not too bored to know, the Origin Spectral Interpretation Resource Identification and Security Regolith Explorer. short for it's OSIRIS-REx.
You've practiced that, haven't you?
I have. Yes. And it returns on the 24th of September after a 7-year journey to the near-Earth asteroid Bennu. And it took 16 seconds to take a sample of the surface. It's now safely ensconced in a capsule, and that capsule is going to be delivered to Earth on the 24th of September for collection by the NASA team, and then it's going to be taken away and studied, which is pretty amazing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's phenomenal what's going on. Say, at the moment, it seems like it's extraordinarily busy with all sorts of countries trying to get in on what could be seen, I suppose, as possibly the future. And there you have the Americans doing something completely different. But I'm sure they'll get to where they want to get to when they get there.
Well, that's true. A masterful understatement.
Well, this is true. This is true. Jane, we've run out of time, and an awful lot in there, actually, this month. And I'm guessing there'll be just as much when we talk about a full moon at the end of September as well.
Yes. Looking forward to it, Tony.
Yeah. OK. Thank you for joining us this morning. And, I'm just thinking about that OSIRIS-REx. Sounds like like a dinosaur, but no, it's returning an asteroid. and only Jane Green could come up with it. Jane, for now, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Tony. A pleasure, as always.
Thank you. Bye-bye.